The Pentagon has not completely given up on the idea of increasing out-of-pocket costs for beneficiaries of the TRICARE program. Active duty service members would continue to get health care at no charge, but their family members and retirees would see some fees and copays rise under DOD's 2015 budget proposal. But Dr. Jonathan Woodson, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, says the fees the department is proposing this year are, in large part, focused on incentivizing TRICARE beneficiaries to get their care from sources that cost the Pentagon less, such as the military service's own military treatment facilities and doctors within TRICARE's own provider network.
Right now, particularly in the working age retiree who are in our TRICARE Prime program, they actually consume more resources, healthcare, than sort of age-matched folks who have a civilian HMO program. So we do have substantial data that we need to revise the system to incentivize the right utilization of care, but provide the access. It's really important that we bring a lot of these in line.
For instance, under DOD's proposal, active duty family members would pay nothing for a primary care visit if their provider is at a military treatment facility, and retirees would pay $10. But if they wanted to see a provider outside of the TRICARE network, they would be on the hook for up to 25% of the total bill. The proposal includes similar cost-sharing breakdowns for other services like specialty care, emergency room visits, and ambulatory surgery. While the reasons behind DOD's push to encourage the use of military treatment facilities are rooted in the department's belief that they are underutilized and can offer care at lower cost, the military services want to make sure those clinics and hospitals are booked with patients for a related but different reason, says Vice Admiral Matthew Nathan, the Navy's Surgeon General.
We could never buy as many providers, nurses, technicians as we can train and cultivate in our own MHS system. And that includes the direct care system and partnerships with our academic, sometimes very pristine academic partners. In order to be able to maintain, train, and keep the skills currency to provide the kind of care that the American public has come to expect from the battlefield or from the sea or from the air, we have to continue to see and utilize and practice and treat that patient population. Without it, our training programs would go fallow. Many people ask, well, don't you just need combat trauma personnel for war? We do, but in order to train those and provide those, they must be integral into programs that have internal medicine, that have pediatrics, that have OBGYN. And so we run the full gamut of care in our facilities, not only to take care of our families and maintain family readiness, but also to field the kind of team that right now is at as General Travis mentioned, a little bit tired, a little bit worn out, getting ready to take a knee, but nonetheless, the best and highest professional trained quality medical force the country has seen.
Lieutenant General Thomas Travis, the Air Force Surgeon General, says keeping uniformed healthcare professionals engaged with patients will become even more important once the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan is complete. A large majority of his service's medical providers have had no trouble keeping their skills fresh because they've been regularly engaged overseas.
War is a hell of a readiness platform because you stay trained, you focus on war. It's great motivation to get training and be out there and doing the job. As we come home from this war, and it's not done, I think the opportunities to really have that exposure and are going to be diminishing. When I go into an MTF these days and I say, how many of you deployed? 70% of the hands go up. In 5 years, it's not going to be that many. And then that's why I made a comment in the opening that I'm worried about us not being as ready at the next one as we are right now for this one. So the issue is, even as we're trying to find ways to save money, and we're looking within our own direct care system to do that, frankly, we don't need to be chopping the direct care system that much, because we still have to have the opportunity to practice, not just doctors, but nurses, technicians, and the rest. With regard to the reserves, as you may know, for us, the AirVac system, 60% of our AirVac mission is reserve. And they're performing magnificently. So how do you keep them, number one, clinically engaged as this war winds down, but then also exposure to care in the air?
The Pentagon's biggest proposed change to the TRICARE system involves collapsing the three plans it offers right now into one. TRICARE Prime, the HMO-like option, and TRICARE Standard and Extra, the two fee-for-service plans, would be consolidated into a single hybrid health plan. Beneficiaries could still use providers outside of DoD's own network, but at a much higher out-of-pocket cost. Woodson argues the system will be simpler for DoD to administer and easier for beneficiaries to navigate.
We think that the proposal this time around gives the beneficiaries something as we're asking them to pay a little bit more, which is a modern approach with fewer encumbrances. So the proposal this year removes this authorization of referrals, which has been a major dissatisfier for folks using the program. So they get something even as we're asking them to pay a little bit more.
DoD says it desperately needs to reduce its bill for health care during a time of declining budgets. According to the Congressional Budget Office, the department's health care costs rose 130% between 2000 and 2012, and they now consume nearly 10% of the Pentagon's entire base budget. In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.